Okay, we're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Tonight, we're going through the book of 1 John, family fellowship. And we come to a section here as we continue in what's called the exposition of this book, where the author, John, addresses the issue of false teachers in the church. It goes all the way back to chapter 1, verse 1, a group of men called the Gnostics who believed that salvation was by knowledge, a higher level of knowledge, and that they denied the humanity of Christ, and they perverted the gospel, they perverted Jesus Christ, and he's talking about these seducers here in verse 18. Now, Antichrist alert goes from chapter 2, 18 to 27. Tonight we're just going to look at verse 18. And you'll see on your screen, John exposes these false teachers and tells us how to detect them and expose them. There's nothing wrong with that. We are to expose false teachers who pervert the person and work of Christ. It's not being not loving. It's being biblical. Now, it's uncomfortable to the flesh to do that, but it's pleasing to the Spirit, okay? So if you look on your screen tonight, he says, first of all, as we look in verse 18, we're going to look at the first point tonight. They attack Christ. And then, secondly, they abandon the church. And then, thirdly, they assault the Christian. And we're going to look at the first one. They attack Christ. Now, we're going to look at some things here about these antichrists in just a moment. Now, no need to be stand right now. We're just going to read one verse, okay? Chapter 2, verse 18. He says, "Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come." Now, that's speaking of the one to come in the tribulation period, the Antichrist. But notice what he says, shall come. Even now, even when he's writing this 2,000 years ago, even now, there are many antichrists, plural. Anybody that is against Christ or a counterfeit Christ is an antichrist, but not necessarily the antichrist who is going to try to rule the whole world in the tribulation period, whereby we know that it is the last time. Father, I pray tonight as we open this text that you open our hearts. Never thought that we'd have to deal with something like this, but even the early church dealt with it. So many false teachers out there today that pervert the gospel. And unless we know our Bible, we're not going to detect them, and we're not going to know how to confront them with the truth of Scripture. So tonight, teach us from your word how they attack Christ. If you look at verse 18, John uses the term little children, my little children. It's a term of endearment. He really loved these believers here. And it's not calling them little kids or little babies. He's calling them my little children. It's a term of endearment. But also John uses that phrase to introduce a new subject. It's interesting. If you look in verse 28, and he says, "And now, little children." Now, we're going to move from the Antichrist to another subject. Okay, so he uses the term little children to introduce a new topic here. The subject is the last days or the last hour or the last time. All three refer to the same time. And we are in the last hour. We're in the last days. The scriptures tell us that they began with the first coming of Christ and they go all the way to the second coming of Christ. We are in the last hour, and I believe we're in the last time of the last hour. We're in the last hour of the last hour. We're getting close to the Lord's return. And he says here that many antichrists will come leading up to the rapture of the church. Now, we've seen people like Saddam Hussein, Mussolini, Hitler, or we've seen politicians that were types and shadows of the coming Antichrist, right? But they're not the Antichrist who's going to be revealed after the rapture of the church. The word Antichrist means against Christ or instead of Christ. that counterfeit the real Christ. And this man here will be a counterfeiter when he comes after the rapture of the church. John uses this word in four places in his letters. He's called the man of sin. Now, we're talking about the Antichrist right now. He's called the man of sin, the coming prince, the man of lawlessness. And if you want to know more about his character, you go to Revelation 13, 1 through 10, where he's called the first beast, the false prophet who helps him gain world dominance after the rapture is the head of the harlot church that's left behind. Some people believe that will be a hodgepodge of all false religions. Could very well be, but I fall in the camp with many that he's talking about the Catholic Church and the Pope, and because of the city sitting on seven hills, it will be the harlot church. Now, John Hagee said that a few years ago, and people crushed him for it, so he recanted. But I'm not going to recant from the truth. You know, if y'all, excuse me just a minute, I got to get that joker back down. All right. So the coming Antichrist, number one, first point I want to share with you, that's not, tell Tommy I struggled tonight. I was all right this morning. Number one, he has a period of time. In verse 18, you see it. He says, my little children, it is the last time. So he's not going to be revealed to the last of the last times. As you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby you know that it is the last time. It is a time or the last hour. It's the last time. It began at the first coming of Christ, will end at the second coming of Christ. And again, note, it's now. 2,000 years ago, John said it's now. Now, write these scriptures down. You can go to them, and it'll help you decide when the last time began and when the last time will end. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 1. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In Hebrews 9, 26. But just know this, we are in the last time. Even John said it right now. Even now, we're in the last time. Now, the last time of the hour speaks of urgency. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks of a time when we need to be serious about the things of God and warning the people of God. And it behooves me and really saddens me that there are not many of my fellow preachers that are actually preaching on end time events, that are preaching on the second coming of Christ. Because I know, because I see people, I talk to them, I say, when's the last time your pastor preached on the second coming of Jesus? And they never heard it, you know? And that really saddens me, because this is a warning from John about these people, okay? We live in a time of Antichrist, and they will increase, the spirit of the Antichrist will increase as we get closer to the Lord's return. False teaching will increase, and the spirit of the Antichrist will increase. We'll say it another way, the spirit of the Antichrist is rebellion and it's lawlessness. And we're engaged right now in a global conflict for the souls of men. And we look around us and we see the church weak and ineffective because it's gone over into a social gospel. And it's doing everything it's not supposed to do, and it's not doing the one thing it should be doing. So we see a weak and ineffective church. That doesn't mean the church is going to be destroyed. Christ is just revealing his true church, right? And so I know that you're going to be in that bunch that goes. Now, go with me to Matthew. I had a thought there for a minute, and I was going to cut this thing a little shorter, but I'm not. So if they come out, they're just going to have to come out. Go to Matthew chapter 24, if you will. Matthew 24 is another great prophecy teaching. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, when we're talking about the Antichrist increasing, notice what he says. One of the signs here, one of the shadows, one of the preliminary birth pains of the coming of the Lord is in verse 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now go with me to verse 24, if you will. Verse 24. Then he which hath received, verse 24. For they shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if they were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. So there's going to be increase on these people as we get closer to the Lord's return. Now, it is his time. He's a man that has a time. The Antichrist is not going to come on the scene until his time has come. And that's going to be during the tribulation period. But right now we have the spirit of Antichrist through different men. You know, Bible scholars have speculated through the world, through the church age, who was the Antichrist. Truth is, we don't exactly know because he's not been revealed yet. But there have been many Antichrists. Okay, that come along. So he has a time. Secondly, go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. He has a spirit of spiritual error. Brother Marcus prayed that a while ago in his prayer. Look in verse 22. The Bible says, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now go over with me to chapter 4. Look in verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that he should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is all about people who deny the person and work of Christ. They deny his lordship. They deny everything about him, all those things that are essential to get to heaven. Their goal is to seduce and deceive. And my heart drops because people are being deceived on every hand. I got an email this past week through the church website. I get an email on occasion. And this young man was in a fundamental independent Baptist church in Florida. And he was writing me about his church that was following after a false teacher named Peter Ruckman. Brother Ray, you've heard of Peter Ruckman. And he's what they call a Baptist brighter. In other words, he believes the only true church is a Baptist church. And that's not true. And he's also into landmarkism, and I won't go into what that is, but he was telling me the error that was being taught, not by Peter Ruckman, but because he wasn't the pastor there, but the people that were in leadership in the church were following Peter Ruckman. And so he began to tell me, and the guy was right on target about why what his church believes is not true. And he was asking me for advice. What should he do? And I emailed him back and said, get out. You're not going to change what is called the Ruckmanites. They've been around for a while, and you're not going to change them. Now, my best advice to him was get out and find you another Bible-preaching church. So I haven't heard back from him, but they're all over. The spirit of the Antichrist, he diminishes the person and work of Jesus Christ. They deny his deity and atonement. They attempt to lead people down the road of spiritual error. And unless we know our Bibles, we could be deceived. They must be exposed. They must be confronted. And they must be dealt with biblically. And again, it's unpleasant to do that. But it's pleasing to the Spirit of God. So he has a time. He is a spirit of spiritual error. But thirdly, tonight I want to share with you about how they attack Christ. He is a deceiver. And look again in verse 18 of chapter 2. He says, is the last time. And they that have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. John makes a distinction between Antichrist, plural, and those who are already here and will increase, and the Antichrist, who is to come after the rapture. The Bible teaches us he will appear, this man will appear with all the answers. And unless you misunderstand me tonight, they're thinking he's going to be the savior of the world. Didn't that happen 8 years ago? A Messiah-like man who come on the scene they thought was going to do everything and set the whole world straight, and he's going to have all the answers, and the whole world will marvel at him. You know? I mean, without getting too political, y'all know how the tour went. He went over on the tour and talked bad about America, right? So you better watch out. If there's people all over the world worshiping this guy more than really us, then we need to be wary of that man, right? And Satan will indwell this man, and he will be energized with demonic activity for the end time events. And you can read all of that in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. Now, I want to close tonight. By the way, it's a long time before I'm going to close, but that's just, I'm getting close, okay? With two questions. What will this man be like, this Antichrist? And when will he come? Well, what will he be like? Well, he's going to be a man, not a woman, going to be a man, Revelation 13. He's going to be a Gentile from one of the Gentile nations. And I happen to be in that group that believes he's going to come from the revived Roman Empire. He's going to come out of the sea, which in the Bible is symbolic of Gentile nations. He will head up the revived Roman Empire. You remember you had the Babylonian four world empires, the Babylonians, the Persians, Rome, and then you're going to have the revived Roman Empire. It was never really defeated. It was divided, and he's going to come, many people believe, come from the European community, or what they call the United States of the world or whatever, and he's going to come from that, and there'll be turmoil and everything because all the Muslim countries and Russia and Iran will be defeated when they march down on the nation of Israel about almost midway of the tribulation period, the Battle of Ezekiel's War. That's when they're going to be defeated. Christ is the one who's going to defeat terrorism, right? And there's a vacuum in the world after they're all defeated, then he's going to assume world power, trying to. He's going to be a political, economic, and military genius. He's going to be a great blasphemer. He's going to blaspheme God. He's going to counterfeit Christ. See, that's the purpose of these counterfeits. He's going to have a counterfeit miracles. They're going to be fake miracles, if you read the text closely in Revelation 13. He's going to have a fake resurrection. It's going to be as if he had a mortal wound. It says, as if he was wounded mortally. So he's going to have a fake resurrection. And he wants to control the whole world. And ever since he was kicked out of heaven as Lucifer, his goal is to have world dominion. And this is where the globalistic movement comes from. This is where globalism comes from. One world government. Now, I'm glad that we got a president today that believes in nationalism, right? And he believes in the sovereignty of our nation. We shouldn't have the UN telling us what to do, right, Brother Frank? We are a sovereign nation. But this one world government has been around ever since Satan. It's been around what? Remember? Nimrod trying to build a tower to heaven? That was the start of it, really. And God confounded confused them and confounded their language, and they began to divide up according to how they spoke. So this global effort has been around, and I think you would be shocked if you knew exactly how many of our politicians over the years have been in this globalism movement, okay? Now, he wants to desecrate the rebuilt temple and issue the mark of the beast. You see, after the church is raptured, there's going to be a peace treaty signed between the Antichrist, who's going to promise to protect Israel. Because that tells me one thing right there, America will already have forsaken Israel. And he's going to sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel, I will protect you. But 3.5 years into that period, he's going to, after Russia and Iran and the Muslim nations are destroyed, he's going to allow Israel to rebuild the temple. And then when they do that, he's going to set himself up in the temple as God. The false prophet's going to help here, and they're going to put an image of the first beast. The second beast will put an image of the first beast, the false prophet of the first beast, the Antichrist, and they're going to put this image in the temple, and he's going to cause it to speak. And then that's when it says in Revelation 24:15 and following, to flee to the mountains. You've been deceived. This man is not your Savior. He's not. He's the Antichrist. And his goal will be to attempt to destroy Israel. And he's going to do that at what's called the Battle of Armageddon, right before the Lord's second coming. All nations of the world are going to be gathered there on the plain of Megiddo to do battle with the Antichrist and his armies. And they're going to be defeated. It's not much of a battle. They speak a word, and they're going to dissolve right where they're at, the Bible tells us, Zechariah and others. And ultimately, he'd be cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet. They'd be there forever and forever. We read about that in Revelation chapter 20. But before we get to that, though, there's political Babylon and there's ecclesiastical Babylon. Our religious Babylon. There is the world system apart from God, and then there is the harlot church who's not part of the real church, and they're left behind. And they're both going to be destroyed in Revelation 17 and 18. So that's a little bit about what he's going to be like. And we see the terror and the horror of this man. He will be literally energized from Satan. Secondly, I want you to notice, when will he come? You know, people set dates about the coming of the Lord. They set dates. He could be alive today. I don't know. I personally don't think he is. But he could be. Because there are no events that need to take place. For if the church would be raptured right today, you would see how these things would play out. You know, instantly. When will he come? Well, he's not going to come till after the church is raptured. We believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we believe in what's called the premillennial return of Christ. In other words, we're not going to make this world any better, a utopia, and then Christ comes. It's not going to be any better until Christ comes. So 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12 teaches that he will come after the spirit that indwells the church is taken out of the way. The church is a restrainer, right? And when that is taken out of the way, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, that he's going to be revealed. And he's going to do all these kind of things that I've been telling you he's going to do. And we're going to enter into what's called the Jacob's Trouble. 21 series of, they sum again in the first part of Tribulation. And 21 very serious judgments by God upon the world to correct or chasten those that have rejected the Christ and those part of Israel that have rejected the Christ, and to cleanse this world for the second coming of Christ in the millennial kingdom. So we're mid-tribbers. Anybody ask you, say, what are you? You say, I'm a mid-tribber. Why are you a mid-tribber? My pastor told me to tell you that, right? So, but... we're not mid-tribbers, excuse me, I misspoke. We're pre-tribbers, right? And we're not pan-tribulationists who believe everything's going to iron out one day. We believe the Lord is coming for us, and then we'll begin the period of 7 years of tribulation. And that's what we are. In fact, at the next pastor's fellowship, they know I'm all into this, so... The pastor there in Bainbridge, Brent Ellenberg, at Trinity Baptist Church, he's Trinity Baptist West, and I'm Trinity Baptist East, but we joke about that. But they want me to preach on why I'm pre-trib, pre-millennial, and so I'll do that June the 11th. But he will try to achieve world control. By the way, you know, again, that's something Satan has always wanted to do ever since he was cast out of heaven, because he wanted to be like God. But in closing tonight, go with me to Revelation 3:10. I want to give you a word of comfort before we leave. Revelation 3:10. Now, next week we'll talk about they abandon the church and they try to take as many as they can with them and they assault the Christian. Look in Revelation 3:10. Here you have the seven churches of Revelation. They all speak of a characteristic in the church through the ages. They all speak of a time in the church age. And there were actual historical churches on the mail route there in Asia Minor. And each one of them, well, let's look at the church at Philadelphia. That's a faithful church. Many of my cohorts, and I do as well, believe that the faithful church of Philadelphia is a raptured church. The church of Laodicea that comes next is the harlot church that's left behind. Okay? Now look in Revelation 3:10. This is the one text. If there was no other text in the Bible, this is the one text I base the fact that the church will miss the tribulation. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept thy word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, our hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I will keep you from, not through, and not in, but I will keep you from the hour of temptation. That doesn't mean 60 minutes. That's a period of time. That's 7 years, which shall come upon the whole world. Now, you can't be talking about Rome here and the Roman leaders because he said the whole world, right? So he's talking about the end time tribulation period. On them, see, not believers, but on them that dwell upon the earth, on them that are left behind. Pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, there are a lot of people that believe the church will go through the tribulation. And we'll go through tribulation, but we're not going to go through the tribulation. It's not for us. I agree with what John Phillips said. I told you what John Phillips said before. Just as the father would send his son to go get the bride in a Jewish wedding and bring her back home and consummate the wedding, okay? Christ is also going to send his son to get the bride and take us where? John 14, to the Father's house. And for 1,000 years in the millennial reign, we'll be consummating the honeymoon of our union with Christ. And John Phillips says, there is no way that the father would beat up the bride, right? And abuse the bride before he comes to take her home, right? We're the church, we're special, right? The tribulation is not for us. It's for Christ rejectors and those in the nation of Israel that don't come to him. Amen? Great. So this is what we preach and teach. And again, it amazes me how many pastors who ought to be telling their people about these things instead of 10 ways to feed your dog without getting bit or 5 ways to feel better about yourself. They need to know where we're at and where we're headed, right? Father, no invitation tonight. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and thank you for seeing me through my struggles tonight. I know how to fix it next week, but so Father, I just pray that we'll, as we go into this little mini study on Antichrist, that you'll teach us and that we'll be bold. And we're not talking about little differences of interpretation. We're talking about things that pervert the gospel and the person and work of Christ. So Father, tonight, help us to be bold in what we believe and know why we believe it. We can't be bold if we don't know what we believe. And we can't be bold if we don't know why we believe it. So help us to be students of the book that we may be able to expose, detect, and to confront. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen.